Welcome to And With Your Spirit, a homily podcast that takes preaching out of the sanctuary and moves it into your daily life. Let us make ourselves open to the voice of Christ and the movement of the Holy Spirit, that we might be transformed.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
You guys are the brave and disciplined ones. Here at 7:30 a.m. and it feels like 6:30, right? Anybody else get up at like 5 a.m. to make sure your alarm clock was the right time? Oh man, yeah, I did the same thing today. At least I got to go back to bed after that because it was right. So anyways, now this morning in a homily, I want to kind of get back to what we were doing a year ago in Lent. I did a series on the Ten Commandments. We didn't quite get all of them done in the 6 weeks of Lent. And so I want to get back to the rest of them. This weekend, we're going to do the Eighth Commandment. And then next weekend, we're going to do the commandments about adultery and chastity. So just FYI, parents, talking about bodily things there. And the next weekend after that, we're going to do the final two together. So we'll get back to those. So for all the times we've broken all the commandments, let's call to mind our sins and ask the Lord to forgive us. Exodus 20, verse 16, and Deuteronomy 5, verse 20. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. This past week, I had pretty busy week, actually. Last weekend, I wasn't here, as you guys know, who came here to Mass at Corpus Christi. I was down in Nashville, or just outside of Nashville, at a small town. They're actually building a new Catholic parish outside of Nashville. They're building a new church, like a new parish, like not just a new building for a current church, but like they're building a brand new one altogether, because people are moving to the city of Nashville in droves, just business and whatever is moving them there. And they need more spaces for more people to go to church. And so a suburb of Nashville named Brentwood has thousands of families registered at one Catholic parish. And so they're building a new one 15 minutes down the road up on an old horse farm. They're going to build a church and then also a K-12 school on that property. And my buddy is now the new pastor. Currently, they're just meeting in a gym at a local school, and that's where they're having their masses. But anyways, so I went down to give a parish mission to help kind of kick off Lent for them, to help this parish kind of get a shot in the arm. No vaccination reference there. Anyways, went down to do a parish mission. I got back really late on Wednesday at midnight, and then on Wednesday afternoon, I had a funeral, and then on Thursday, I had another funeral up in Jasper, and then on Thursday evening, I had a dinner event, and the last thing I wanted to do on Thursday evening was go to a dinner event, right? Because I was exhausted from traveling, I was tired from two funerals, not tired as in a bad way, just funerals kind of can take a lot out of you, you know? And so that night, when I went to the dinner party, I walked in, I got my name tag, and someone walked up to me and said, "Father, so good to see you. How are you?" And my answer was, "I don't want to be here," right? But I didn't say that, you know. My answer was, "I'm tired and I'm grouchy and I just want to go home and I want to have a bourbon by myself in my living room and mindlessly watch TV for a couple hours in my PJs and go to bed. That's what I want to do," right? But you can't say that, can you? When you go to a social event and people are excited and energetic and want to talk and you've not seen them in a while, you can't say, "I don't want to be here," right? So what do you say? Do you lie? Or yesterday, I went to the hospital over in Gateway, and I was walking in. Maybe you saw this story on Facebook. I posted it on my Facebook and Instagram accounts. But anyways, I walked in the hospital, and I had been working around the house in the morning, and so I wasn't dressed as a priest. I just had jeans and a t-shirt and like a quarter zip on or whatever. I walk into the hospital, and there's signs everywhere that says you have to wear a mask and only two visitors per room. And I knew there was already two people in the patient's room that I was going to, but they always let the like clergy kind of go around the rules. Not in all ways, but at least in that way they do. And so I went up to the counter and thought, I'm going to have to tell them I'm a priest. I have to convince them, because if not, they won't let me go to the person's room. And so I walked up to the counter, and they said, "What room are you here to visit?" And I said, B, whatever it was. And the lady behind the counter, she looked at me, and then she looked at what I was carrying, which was a sacramental book, the little green one we use for the anointing of the sick, and a priestly stole, like a purple and white stole, and then a little black box that had my holy oils and other things in it. Anyways, I had that stack, and I set it on the counter as I was talking to them, and I said, "Oh, by the way, I'm a priest. I'm just not dressed like that today." And she goes, "Well, I know you're a priest." And the lady beside her goes, "Well, how'd you know he was a priest?" And the lady who was talking to me, she said, "Because he's got that stack." The other lady goes, "What does that stack have to do with being a priest?" And I was like, "I got to get up to this person's room, you know?" What does that stack have to do with this guy being a priest? And she goes, well, that stack means he's a priest because he's got that black box. And she goes, well, what's in the black box? And the lady man just, golly, you know. And so I jumped in and I said, oh, well, this is what I carry my sacramental things in. The lady goes, yeah, like holy water and stuff. And the lady who didn't know what was going on goes, holy water. I've seen that in movies like The Exorcist. And I said, yep, that's in the movies. Anyways, the lady who said, I saw it in the movies, she said, and the lady's punching my stuff in to get me ready to go upstairs, and the lady who said she saw it in the movies goes, yeah, well, I'm not familiar with holy water as much as I am familiar with snakes. And I was like, snakes, you know? And my mind went to, you know, like Baptists who get up with snakes on the ground, they pick them up in the air and they don't bite them, you know? So I said, oh, snakes, are you Baptist? And she said, I ain't Baptist, I'm agnostic. I'm not even sure if God exists. And then the other lady who has been talking to me about the stack, right? She's Catholic, okay? So she had said she was Catholic. She goes, Father, she's not used to snakes because she's Baptist. She's used to snakes because she's used to hell. And I was like, oh no, right? And right when she said that, she put the little wristband thing up, right, for me to put my arm on. And so I put my hand out like this to get the wristband thing. And when I did that, she thought I meant to fist bump her. And so then we like fist bumped about calling this person, you know, about going to hell. And I thought, man, this is terrible. Anyways, so we fist bumped and I thought, now do I tell her that I wasn't, that's not a fist bump, right? Like, I'm not like saying, yeah, yeah, she's going to hell, right? Do I explain that or do I let it go, right? These little things happen all the time to us, don't they? Maybe not that one to you. But these things happen all the time, right? How are you feeling today? Tired. That's how I'm feeling. But I don't want you to worry about me. So do I tell you that? Or, honey, does this dress make me look fat? There's definitely a wrong answer to that, right? Although on the way outside of church last night, I got a lot of suggestions from husbands about how you answer that question. One of them said, he went back to the Randy Travis song, Honey, I don't care, I ain't in love with your hair. If it all fell out, I'd love you anyway, right? I don't, your dressing, your clothes, that doesn't matter to me, like I love you. I thought, that's beautiful. And she's behind him like. Or another, I remember another guy on the way out last night, he goes, Father, the answer to the question is, this dress make me look fat? The answer is no. And I said, I know that. And he goes, well, and that's not even a lie, because she doesn't look fat because of the dress. And I said, sir, you probably shouldn't say that, right? His wife wasn't there, luckily, right? So, anyways, we're caught all the time. And how we answer questions, how much truth do we tell? Is it better to let this part out or to leave that part go or to include this element? All the time, our speech is catching us. In fact, I would say, people go to confession. The number one sin that people probably commit, they probably don't confess this one most often, we probably don't confess it most often, it's probably lying. I mean, I bet this morning I've already lied. I'm not aware of that, but our speech all the time is tripping us up. Why? Because we're beings that are oriented to the truth. St. Thomas Aquinas says, all people are impelled by their nature and by a moral obligation to seek the truth. And once they find it, or once they come to know it, to direct their whole lives in accordance with its demands. We're truth-seeking creatures. In fact, he says, we could not live with each other if there was not a mutual confidence that we were actually being truthful. We couldn't even live with each other if there wasn't a confidence we were actually telling the truth. Now, why is that? As Christians, it's because our entire religion is based around the God who is the truth, capital T. Let's see how Baptist we are. Ready? I'm going to give you some Bible verses, see if you can finish them, all right? John 14:6, because Jesus is the way and the life. John 8:32, because the blank will make us free. Truth. John 16:3, this is all just John's gospel. John 16:3. Because the Holy Spirit was sent to us to guide us into all truth. John 18:37, before Pilate, Jesus says, I came to testify to the truth. That's just John's gospel. That's just four verses I found quickly yesterday. Our whole faith is about the truth. In fact, It's so much about the truth that people have given their lives for it. I don't know if you guys remember the story in February of 2015, back when ISIS or ISIL or Islamic, you know, extremists, back whenever that was a big thing. Back in 2015, they captured 21 construction workers. 20 of them were Egyptian Coptic Christians. One of them was a man from Ghana who was not Christian. Those 21 men were captured in February. A couple days later, a video was released by that Islamic group. And they had these men each on a beach. They were wearing orange, I think. They were on a beach in Libya. Do you remember this? Remember this story? Remember these images? These men were kneeling on a beach, and it was like a propaganda video to kind of pump up the Islamic State base. And they went down the line and basically said, deny your God, right? Say you're not going to worship God anymore, your God anymore. Worship our God instead. And the first guy, they walked up to him and said, do that. And he said, I will not. And they cut his head off. The next one, same thing, deny your God. The third one, deny your God. I guess they thought, like, by number five or six, the guys would be like, forget that. Like, I'd rather lie than die. But one by one, all the way down the line, all 20 of those Christians were first, and the guy from Ghana, the non-Christian, was last, number 21. All the way down the line, not a single one of them said, I want to worship your God. None of them said, I'll lie. By the time they got to the 21st guy who wasn't even Christian, they got to that guy and they said, deny the Christian God or be like them. And he looked down the line at all these construction workers that he was friends with. He saw how much the truth mattered to them. And he replied back to these terrorists, these evil men. He said, their God? He's my God now too. And he was killed, became a martyr on the same day he was baptized in his own blood. How much do we stand up for the truth? Our whole body should be a vehicle carrying the truth around. You know, we know that it's scandalous if someone walks into an adult club, right? Why is that scandalous? Because it tells other people that it's okay to do it. But do we also believe it's scandalous to sit on a couch for 4 hours watching Netflix, giving our body over to something that's not good? Do we believe that it's okay to punish our kids in certain ways and not others, to speak certain falsehoods or to laugh at certain jokes? All of these things derail people. I mean, the Catechism says, this is what it says about lying. The purpose of speech, this is paragraph 2485, the purpose of speech is to communicate what's known by you to other people. Why? Because I can't know it all and neither can you, but together we can get there. You know, I think I told you guys this story a little while ago. A guy came up to me after Mass one weekend. It was the weekend the tornadoes hit Kentucky. And he was really upset because we didn't pray about that in the petitions. I didn't know the damage they had done yet. I hadn't watched the news. I didn't know that. And because he did, he told us, and we could pray about it the next day at Mass. But we need each other to get to the truth. And so, paragraph 2486, a lie does real violence to another person, the Catechism says, or does real violence because it affects their ability to know, which is a condition of every judgment and every decision. It affects our ability to know. And if we can't know, we can't live rightly. And if we can't live rightly, we can't be good. And if we can't be good, we can't go to heaven one day. That's why telling the truth matters. Father, how are you doing today? Aren't you excited to be here tonight at this dinner party? If I say, oh yeah, I'm really excited, right? And that's a lie, because I'm not. I mean, I was glad to be there. My feet took me there, right? I was glad to be there. I would rather be home. If I told them, yeah, I'm excited to be here, how are you? Then they say, oh, I'm great. Guess what? We got this great news. They tell me about their daughter being pregnant or something, you know, wonderful. And if I'm lying when I said I'm happy to be here, and then I don't smile or radiate the joy to share in their good news with them, I can bring them down, actually, right? I'm excited to be here. Hey, our daughter's pregnant. Oh, good for you. Good for us? Like, this is amazing news, right? Because I lied, or I would have, or could have lied, right? We have to be careful about that. But at the same time, some people only deserve so much of the truth, right? Like when someone comes up to me and says, Father, did you hear so-and-so's confession? Do I tell them yes? No, right? Actually, I've had parents come up to me and say, did my son or my daughter, did they go to confession to you this week? They probably just want to know, like, you know, because maybe they know that they broke something at the house or stole something, I don't know. They want to know, did they confess their sins or not? What do I say? Or let's go back to World War II. There was a saintly man who was hiding Jewish people in his home to protect them from the Nazis. The Nazis are going down the street. They knocked on his door and said, sir, are you harboring Jews? And this saintly Christian Catholic man, he either could lie or he could tell the truth. If he told the truth, those Jews would be taken. He'd probably be taken and killed too. If he lied, he would be not bearing witness to the truth. What do you do, right? Well, right now in Russia, if you say the word war and you're a journalist, you're imprisoned. And not only is that bad for you, but you can no longer effect communication in your country. So do you not use the word war? Do you not use the true word? Actually, the Catechism even talks about that. It's paragraph 2499. If Putin's listening, hear this part, man. Moral judgment must condemn the plague of totalitarian states which systematically falsify the truth, exercise political control of opinion through media, manipulate defendants and witnesses at public trials, and imagine that they secure their tyranny by strangling and repressing everything they consider to be a thought crime. Our church is strong on this point. It's really important. But at the same time, there are parts of life that people they don't deserve to know the whole truth. That's what the Catechism says. In fact, they say that professional secrets, like if you're a psychologist, you can't share those things. That's in order to help the person, you got to keep something secret. Or the state, actually, the Catechism says the state has to balance the common good and individual rights. They can't force you to say certain things that you don't want to say, individual rights. They've also got to reveal enough things to you that help us to live a good life. Actually, it even talks about social media, paragraph 2496. It says we should practice moderation and discipline in our use of mass media. We should want to form an enlightened and correct conscience that easily resists unwholesome influences. Is your use of Netflix and Facebook and whatever news stations you watch, does that help you easily resist unwholesome influences? It's hard to find a news station that helps you do that, actually. Anyways, all of these things, it's all what the church says. Why should you not lie? Because we are beings oriented to the truth, especially if we're Christian. We're baptized into it. So, what do you do? When your wife comes up to you, husbands, and says, does this dress make me look fat? What do you say? Well, you don't say yes, right? That's not good either. Maybe what you do is you find the truth. Honey, I think you look beautiful, regardless of the dress. Father, aren't you excited to be here tonight? How do you feel today? I feel okay. How do you feel? Maybe when someone comes to your door, like that saintly man in World War II, when the Nazis come to your door and knock and say, are you harboring Jews? Maybe the answer to that is, you look down the street and say, I think they're nearby, like that man did, as the Nazis ran down the road. We're beings oriented to the truth. And the best way, perhaps, for us to avoid lies or bearing false witnesses is to first start with digging deeper to find the truth that we know and that ought to be shared.